Welcome to the Bleed Blue Show podcast, also known as the Blues Day Recap Forum for the fans. I'm your host, Steve, as I will be recapping the New York Knicks, New York Giants, New York Yankees, and the New York Rangers, as well as the sports universe in general. During the week, you can find us on our live shows and forums at the 929-477-4171 to the call-in number to the Bleed Blue Show for live shows for the New York Giants forum, post-games, pre-game shows, New York Knicks forums and post-games, and as also the New York Rangers post-games. You can also follow the show at the Bleed Blue Show on Twitter, myself, SB First Amendment. Without further ado, we're going to do the Blues Day recap for the sports of last week between the Knicks, Giants, Yankees, and Rangers. The New York Yankees, right now, the Yankees season is officially over. The New York Yankees, the Bronx Bombers, finish a record at 84-78, 6 games over 500, 12 games back of the 2014 AL East champion Baltimore Orioles. The New York Yankees home record for this season was 43 wins and 38 losses, while going one game over 500 on the road, 41 wins, 40 losses. We all know, as New York Yankee fans, the Derek Jeter tour officially has come to an end. Derek Jeter, El Capitan, finishing his last at bat at Fenway with a ground ball single, and he was pitch ran for during the game. Derek Jeter, absolutely phenomenal leader, phenomenal captain. It's going to be sad to see the captain go. Derek Jeter last Thursday night, as we all know, at the stadium, we had an absolute classic Jeter moment, meaning, bottom of the ninth, runner on second, and he was able to slap that classic Jeterian opposite field single to the right side of the infield, scoring home the winning run, as Derek Jeter can do. It doesn't get any better than that for Derek Jeter, New York Yankee fans. I know it's been a sad season, once again, not in the playoff picture, back-to-back seasons, with Mo Rivera not being able to get into the postseason as a closer, and Derek Jeter this season not able to go out in his final year into the playoffs, and hopefully for the World Series. But as far as the season go, it could have ended it better for him, as that's probably one of his greatest moments with the nation, with the magnifying glass on Yankee Stadium last Thursday night, the hashtag respect all over social media. It's no doubt Derek Jeter is the first ballot Hall of Famer. Derek Jeter is definitely the best Yankee of my generation. And to be honest with you, Derek Jeter is probably the best Bleed Blue pro athlete which I ever saw from a pro career perspective, start to finish. You could mention Patrick Ewing. You can mention Michael Strahan. Michael Strahan might be a close second. He will be second as far as, Bleed Blue pro athlete, start to finish in my generation. Derek Jeter is bar none number one guy on that list. Derek Jeter is definitely going to be missed. We saw the stories in the newspapers and in the media how he was real sad in driving to the stadium, knowing, his thoughts of, his last game going to be in pinstripes, and how he sunk in the moment, held back some tears. It doesn't get any better than that. It doesn't get any better than Derek Jeter. Even his last on the field playing shortstop was at the stadium. He didn't play shortstop in Boston. He DH'd in Boston. But in New York, holding back the tears. The Derek Jeter chants all game long. It was just absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. The New York Yankees, I don't even think the new stadium, even including the 2009 World Series, I don't think the new stadium has been that loud. It's just the old house. So it's been a great run for the captain, 5 World Series. Should have maybe one MVP under his belt, but he's going to be missed. I'll say that a million times before the end of this podcast, because he was a leader on and off the field. You never heard a peep out of him. Never was in trouble, said the right things. And then the funny thing about it, him being in New York, he was never one of those guys to start, stir up controversy. That's why everybody loves him, everybody respects him. It doesn't get any better, man. So we're going to miss Derek Jeter, and, he's going to be back for Old Timers Day, and, you'll see him around baseball. He's definitely the lead pro athlete in this generation since the last 30 years, hands down. So, hats off to Jeter, and we'll see, we got to continue on with New York Yankee baseball. And it's kind of funny because speaking of New York Yankee baseball, Mr. Joe Girardi, a couple of days ago, had a press conference and he was talking about Alex Rodriguez, expecting to play third base next season for the New York Yankees in 2015, because we all know that A-Rod is coming off that 162-game suspension for that, his role in biogenesis and his, his role in all these reports and, whether he was guilty, not guilty, whatever. A-Rod's, expected to play third base. Yeah, it's no surprise, A-Rod's contract, A-Rod's contract doesn't end until 2017. So, $27.5 million on the books for 2015, and we got a broken down third baseman. I don't even know. See, the questions I have about A-Rod is, what kind of A-Rod player are we going to get with the New York Yankees? Because is A-Rod going to still be the same broken down player the last season and a half, two seasons with the New York Yankees, with the lost power, the untimely hitting? Or is he going to be the type of player that would be, he's not going to be the old A-Rod between 28 and 32 years old, or even earlier in his career in his 20s. Is he going to be able to produce at a decent age at, in his late 30s, at 39, going on 40? Alex Rodriguez, at his age, is he going to be able to produce at least to like 275, 280? He may not be able to hit 45, 50 home runs, but can he get you 15, 17 home runs? Can he get you 70, 75 RBIs? For that contract for $27.5 million, I don't think, as Yankee fans, we'll take that, although it could be a lot worse. As bad as the hitting has been with this team this season, we'll sign up for anything that A-Rod could actually positively produce on the field, not off the field. So there's a lot of questions going into next season as far as the New York Yankees third baseman in his return to pinstripes. The team leaders this season, Brian McCann, 23 home runs, and he led the team at 75 RBIs. Just think about that for a minute. Brian McCann, free agent catcher signing from the Atlanta Braves, he led the team with 23 home runs and 75 RBIs. That's pretty low for New York Yankee standards as the team leader. That would tell you right there, for the most part, the slugging has been reduced, has been dropped. Jacoby Ellsbury, he led the team in hitting with a 271 batting average. If 271 is your leading batting average for the team, you've been there from start to finish. I'm not counting guys who got traded, let's say, in June. If 271 is leading your team, that pretty much stinks. And that tells you the way the season has went for the Bronx Bombers, or the Bronx Bomber list. The hitting has got to improve next year. And I'll get into that before I get off this podcast. But, you got a guy like Tanaka who led the team with 13 wins. But the problem with Tanaka leading the team in 13 wins and 5 losses, he hasn't even pitched since early summer because of the arm, because of the elbow. Hideki Kuroda, he had an 11-9 record with a 3.71 ERA and got almost close to 200 innings. He pitched 199 innings with 146 strikeouts, 35 base on balls. McCarthy, who came over for the trade, he was 7-5. But the New York Yankees, the pitching is going to have to be just as strong, if not stronger, going into next season. It sounds like cliche. Yes, the Yankees had good moments where the ERA and they were pitching lights out throughout those summer months, but How are we going to questions like CC Sabathia, his health. What is he going to bring to the table next season, you know? We got a lot of questions on that starting pitching, that rotation. David Robertson, you know, he's been the closer for the New York Yankees this season since Mo retired. This season he went 39 out of 44 save opportunities. Will it be fair to him that after replacing the legend Mo Rivera, you know, is he still going to be the closer? I would think so, but you know, that's not bad, you know, but in at the same time, that's kind of expected out of a Major League Baseball closer these days. So, you know, I feel that the New York Yankees, besides the hitting, because that's probably more important than the pitching, but the pitching's not too far behind. We need more starting arms. The hitting, you know, was definitely atrocious. All summer long, couldn't even buy run if we wanted to. The Yankees are in trouble, man. They're an injury-ridden team. I said this before the start of this season. You know, the New York Yankees seem to find their way on the injury list. You know, we all know that Mark Teixeira is banged up all year. His contract is going to be up in 2016. You know, we got Steven Drew coming over from the Boston Red Sox. But, you know, what questions? We got a lot of questions for the New York Yankees. So, New York Yankees, who replaces Derek Jeter at shortstop? You got so many questions. And then they're talking about extending Brian Cashman's contract as general manager. I know a lot of Yankee fans feel, you know, disheartening about that. It's so many questions. And then on top of that, you know, with today, with Carlos Beltran going through surgery for his elbow, it's just so many injuries, man. It got a lot of older guys on the roster. So we'll see. You know, we'll readdress the New York Yankees next week with any developments, any acquisitions before we get into winter meetings later on this year. So right now with the New York, you know, transitioning into the New York Rangers, man, they, you know, preseason hockey, they got a game tonight again against the Philadelphia Flyers. You know, they're coming off a 4-1 victory in preseason hockey over the Chicago Blackhawks last week, and they had got goals by Anthony Duclair and Oscar Lindbergh. The Rangers, you know, they also won won Monday night against the same Philadelphia Flyers, who they are playing again this week, by a score of 6-3, where they got two goals by Fast and Haggerty each. So we have a lot of things about the New York Rangers going on, because right now they're in the middle of training camp. Preseason is underway. Right now, for the Blue Shirts, Coach V and the team, they got their eye on the young boy, Anthony Duclair. Right now, 19 years old. He's from the 2013 entry draft. You know, the chances are he will be probably going back to Quebec. But the staff and the team want to see what he can do with, you know, on that line with Rick Nash and them. So with Derek Stepan out for at least a month with a fractured fibula, you know, what kind of bright young boys the Rangers are going to bring to the regular season, which starts in a couple of weeks, within a week, actually. So, you know, right now the New York Rangers, we're looking at a line. You know, you got guys like Chris Kreider, Derek Brassard, you know, Stepan's injured right now. Then, you know, got a full season with Martin St. Louis, who came in over for the trade, you know, last season for Ryan Callahan, you know, right winger. You know, Ryan McDonough, you know, with the captainship, and Dan Girardi playing defense. You know, you got Carl Hagelin, Dominic Moore, Max Zuccarello, and you got Dan Boyle over from San Jose, and Mark Stahl, you know, one of the Stahl brothers, you know, back on the team, and, you know, working out that contract issues with the organization. So the Rangers, they got to get in the flow of things when they open up the season at St. Louis, you know, next week, October 9th, and then 2 days later, they're going to be at Columbus on the 11th. So the New York Rangers, you know, I would say they got a tough start. But, you know, St. Louis is, you know, a very good Western Conference hockey team. So we want to see what their rhythm is looking like this preseason, which is, from what I see, is pretty good. But then you're getting a lot of goal scoring, a lot of opportunities, a lot of shots on goal. Even in early into the regular season, after they come back from at Columbus, they're going to have four home games. You got games against the Islanders. Well, they got games against the Maple Leafs, the Islanders, the Carolina Hurricanes, and the San Jose Sharks. So it's kind of like my questions for the New York Rangers going into the season, because we saw them get exposed against the Los Angeles Kings in the Stanley Cup Finals, because can the Rangers get even deeper on all level of their lines? Could they be four lines deep and bring the fire on those 90-second shifts? So, and will they be able to be, will their chemistry carry over from the Stanley Cup playoffs? So will the Rangers get off to a good start this season versus, you know, last season they pretty much played a gauntlet of, you know, road games in the Western Conference. And the fact that they even got to the playoffs was even surprising the way the season started with all those games on the road because of Madison Square Garden renovation. So, you know, will the King, you know, Henrik Lundqvist, you know, continue his great goaltending that has saved the Rangers, you know, in the playoffs. He's got my respect. I wasn't the biggest guy on Henrik. I kind of thought he was, you know, I'm not one of those Rangers fans that, you know, was drinking the Kool-Aid as far as him being the greatest goaltender, but he did show me something in the 2014 playoffs, 2013-14 playoffs. So, but I expect the New York Rangers to get more scoring punch. Now we got a full, you know, season out of Martin St. Louis. You know, I still think he still has like at least a good 3 years left in him. But, you know, it comes down to other guys stepping up, like guys like Rick Nash, you know. You know, when every time I think about Rick Nash, and I'm thinking we're getting robbed from that Columbus trade, man, because $7.8 million we're paying this guy, and this guy, you know, he hasn't delivered at the way we expected him to, but at the same time, he did play a little bit good hockey going into, you know, during the playoff run, you know, when we were playing, you know, whether it was Montreal, you know, he had a couple goals there, you know, with the Kings, you know, so we'll see. We got questions about the New York Rangers, but they've been playing good preseason hockey, and we'll see what it is with them. With Broadway Blue Shirts, we'll be doing their postgame shows after their games. So to stay tuned to this podcast and with those updates. And right now, we're, you know, transitioning from the Rangers to the New York Football Giants. Right, we all know that, as you know, the New York Football Giants, they're coming off that 45-14 win over the DMV Washington DC Redskins, and you know, when you look at that performance, man, Eli Manning looked very, very good. He looked very phenomenal. But most importantly, he was phenomenal because his offensive line was phenomenal. You got to give props to Will Beatty. You got to give props to Weston Richburg. I would hope, you know, in particular, Will Beatty, he could play. He continue his good play, and I'm still skeptical. You know, I'm still skeptical about him, but I don't know. I said, you know, in prior shows, on our live shows with the Giants Forum, and he took the money, took the Albert Hainsworth approach, and I hope he proves me wrong. So let's see if he could keep it up. And I was right all along about Weston Richburg. You do not sit this guy, man. He's a second-round draft pick from Colorado State. You do not sit Weston Richburg, man. You put him in the game, goddamn it. You put him in the game. He's an ox out there, man. This guy knows his football. He's a load, man. So he pushes that line back into that second level, man. And you can see that since the Hall of Fame game, although it was preseason, you can see his talents on display versus the Buffalo Bills in that Hall of Fame game. So good job by the New York Giants on that left side of the line in particular. You know, I thought Rashad Jennings coming off that bell cow performance versus, you know, the Houston Texans with the 30-plus carries, you know, I thought this is what kind of Giants football I expected to see with him, with Rashad Jennings and Andre Williams splitting carries between each other, you know, because I think Andre Williams is more than capable to get 15-16 touches or 15-16 carries, get you about a good 60-70 yards at minimum. I think the difference between last season and this season is now you're seeing a New York Football Giants team with healthy running backs, all right? Those third and short conversions that we weren't getting last year with David Wilson before his injury, and, you know, the first eight games where, you know, Andre Brown wasn't playing because he had a broken leg, those third down conversions, you know, the efficiency is going up because we have a running back, we have two running backs who are able to get their first down versus punting the ball. Because I'm tired of seeing Steve Weatherford punting the ball when we should be moving the chains. So that's the biggest difference I see on the running, you know, one of the biggest differences besides the offensive line, because the offensive line is healthier and we got younger. Now we got running backs who could, you know, move the chains. So we also know that, you know, with that performance on the offense, you got to give props to Larry Donnell. You know, he had his coming out party with 3 touchdowns. I'm pretty sure fantasy football guys who had him on the bench are kicking yourselves. And hell, even us Giants fans was pretty much surprised as far as Larry Donnell's performance with the 3 touchdowns. You know, he's been pretty much consistent, you know, as one of the pass catchers in the offense. He's been the most consistent. He continues to make plays, and I would like to see him block a little bit better than what he already has. But right now, you know, he has not been bad, and there's definitely room for improvement. So, you know, we all know about the tight end carousel that Eli Manning has had, whether it was Brandon Myers, if it was Martellus Bennett, Kevin Balls, Jake Ballard. You know, hopefully Larry Donnell can, you know, be Eli's safety blanket that all these other elite quarterbacks in the league has had. You know, I mentioned that so many times. Breeze has Jimmy Graham. Tom Brady had Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers had JerMichael Finley. And I feel that even Kaepernick out in San Francisco has Vernon Davis. It's about time Eli has a tight end. He's comfortable. He could throw the ball with. Oh, yeah, and Romo has Witten. So, good job by Larry Donnell. And also, at the same time, you know, Victor Cruz, you know, we still got to get on him, man. You got to keep an eye out, Giants fans. You got to keep an eye out on these drops. You know, he had a drop last Thursday versus the Redskins, but he did make up for it right before the half when he caught that 25 reception to get that conversion so we could kick the field goal and go up 3 scores. So, yeah, you know, Victor Cruz, he's been playing good football the last couple of weeks, but he's got to eliminate those drop passes. Right now, we're getting contributions between, you know, Ruben Randall. Ruben Randall is slow as a snail, but he's definitely doing way, 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 way better in this West Coast offense than he was ever doing in that Kevin Gilbert offense, which is making Eli even more comfortable. He trusts Ruben Randall on these small curl routes and, you know, these back faded passes. Ruben Randall, you know, he's been playing better because I don't think the offense is as complicated as it was under Gilbride. You know, Preston Parker has made some contributions at that third wide receiver position. And, you know, in my opinion, he's doing better than Jarrell Jernigan. So, you know, Jernigan, outside of those games at the end of last season versus Detroit and Washington, you know, Preston Parker has shown me that he's capable to play that third wide receiver until Odell Beckham Jr. gets back. But, you know, and I'll get to that in a few. But, you know, Preston Parker, you know, he's done a nice job, you know, in special teams with the punt returns. You know, good job by him. But you also got to tip your hat to the New York Football Giants defense. They had a tremendous game with 5 takeaways. Interceptions by, you know, Prince Amakimura and Tremaine McBride, Quentin Dimps. Also, that turnover by Matthias Kiwanuka when he recovered, when he hit Kirk Cousins and the fumble and the ball was fumbled and recovered by McBride and Robert Ayers Jr. with the pressures on Kirk Cousins causing all those interceptions, especially that interception with Quentin Dimps and Prince. You know, if there ever was an improvement on the defense, you know, I saw holes where the linebackers in pass coverage, and that's because we are thin right now because of injury with John Beeson and Devin Kennard. I thought, you know, sometimes during that game, I thought the running backs from the Redskins was going out on that out route and they saw holes in that pass game. But other than that, the defense played very, very well. I like the fact that they did some, you know, I don't think we have a great pass rush, but, you know, that the fact that they sent the blitz here and there and they got real aggressive. When you send the blitz, when you send that free rusher, it makes Matthias Kiwanuka and Jason Pierre-Paul even more effective. And I even saw plays, with Ayers Jr. and Cullen Jenkins and Jonathan Hankins, you know, the boys, they did all right, you know. And I think they got to keep on sending that blitz, man. You know, we're going to be talking about that later with their upcoming matchup versus the Atlanta Falcons. Also, but if there ever was a concern with the New York Giants, you know, I definitely got to address it, is the special teams. I think the kick return game, you know, they're kicking it out of the end zone. That's one thing, but we got to make something happen with the punt returns, man. We need a spark on, you know, on offense. You know, I know Eli's been playing very good football the last 10 quarters or so, but you still need to have better field position than what we're getting. And we need to get that on the punt return. So whether it's, you know, Preston Parker returning kicks or whenever it happens to be Odell Beckham Jr., you know, when we get punt returns, we need to at least, you know, try to make something happen, get like at least another 20, 25 yards, get better, you know, get better field position. Right now, the New York Football Giants, you know, John Beeson with the foot, you know, his status is still questionable going into next Sunday's game. And Devin Kennard, he still has the hamstring issues. Right now, as we all know, the New York Football Giants with the first round draft pick, Odell Beckham Jr., we still await his return. He's been practicing this week. You know, all his thing is about reps, being him with Tom Coughlin, with him being more comfortable in the offense. We'll see if he plays against Atlanta. I expect him to play against Atlanta. He has been out since he's been drafted. I think he may have pulled the hamstring going on stage to shake Roger Goodell's hand. You know, we haven't seen him since, you know, day one. It seems like forever. So, you know, if the New York Giants staff, the trainers, if they feel that he's ready to go against Atlanta in week 5, so let it be, man. But I'm sure that they're not going to give him maximum reps. They probably give him, you know, a little feel for the game, probably have him return some kicks. So Giants are missing that element within their offense to stretch the field. So I expect, you know, if Beckham Jr. does play in the game, he should be, you know, he probably play 20-25% of the game of what he would actually play. So if the offensive line can make their blocks consistently as they have, like Will Beatty, even John Jerry's playing good football, you know, and J.D. Walton, I'm sure, you know, Tom Coughlin and Ben McAdoo, you know, they'll maximize, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. snaps. So the Giants will be playing the Atlanta Falcons this Sunday at 1 p.m. at MetLife Stadium. Will Beatty, you know, we're going to see his one-on-one matchup versus O.C. Yemenyura, former fan favorite of the New York Giants fan base. And personally, you know, I think the New York Giants, we need to avenge that 34-0 loss back in 2012 on that rainy day in Georgia. So the New York Giants, I hope, you know, they lay the whipping on the Falcons. Other news, we talked, you know, they heard, you know, there's little rumors and speculations of Ndamukong Suh coming to New York. I personally don't know if he was clear whether he was talking New York Jets or Giants. But, you know, there was reports that he wanted to build up his brand in New York. You know, with him on the line, he definitely would cause havoc, enhance the pass rush, whatever, from the interior defensive tackle. You know, we will be bringing this up 10 o'clock Saturday morning on the Giants Roundtable Show. That calling number is 929-477-4171 for that show. And, you know, don't forget to check out the Bleed Blue Show post games after every Giants game and after the Falcon game this Sunday. So, you know, whether we win or lose, Rams rejoice, win, lose, or draw, we're going to be out there. You know, we're going to be fun. You know, also, New York Giants fans, you know, I also want you to check out that show on the NFL Network, that Finding Giants. It's a pretty good show, man. You know, that's with the New York Giants with the scouts going out looking for players, how they do it. You know, it's pretty good stuff, man. So I definitely recommend that to Giants fans. So transitioning over to the New York Knicks, we all know the New York Knicks preseason is not too far around the corner. The Knicks had their media day. Carmelo Anthony, they addressed the media specifically with him thinking that it was going to be tougher to leave, and you know. He felt that the New York Knicks, as they did, you know, they gave up the farm, they gave up cities, countries, and to get him from Denver to New York, and he felt that it would have been too much for him to leave after what all the team has done. I mean, you can't blame him if he did leave, but, you know, I think, you know, he got the max money because of his contract. Let's not get that twisted. You know, Phil Jackson and Derek Fisher, right now they're getting the team ready to go to West Point. Right now, I love the leadership of this franchise. Right now, we got championship caliber leadership, starting from the executives, starting from Phil Jackson all the way down to Derek Fisher. The mentality of the team needs to be bought in, you know, with the triangle offense and defense. You can't, you know, the New York Knicks, you know, they're instilling their philosophies. You know, you got the small rumors right now with Iman Shumpert in his final year of his rookie contract. You know, Knicks fans, I don't know if this is media driven or this is Knicks fan driven. We have to get off this Iman Shumpert being traded. Let the boy play, all right? Iman Shumpert is a key to the success of the New York Knicks, and all he needed was leadership. And he's got that leadership now, so let's lay off the trade rumors. We got a plan for Iman Shumpert. He's gonna do well in this triangle offense. He's more than a year removed from the ACL injury versus the Miami Heat playoff game. He's gonna do his thing. So just let it be. Just let it be. All right. It's been a lot of Medium blogs and sites that the Knicks are finding that the Knicks are gonna be in the middle of the pack in the Eastern Conference. As if you've been tuning into our Knicks forum on Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. at 929-477-4171. A lot of us Knicks fans on that forum don't agree with that assessment. As a matter of fact, we all believe that the New York Knicks are going to win the Atlantic Division, at least guaranteeing a top four playoff spot. And when you follow the team as closely as I do, it is also as Knicks, other Knicks fans who are very, very passionate about their team, we all know that last season was just one big cluster what, meaning the player didn't buy into Mike Woodson's system, throwing other ideologies under the bus. Some of these Knicks sites, they have the New York Knicks finishing at 37-45. And you know what? We're going to hold them to that. You know, we're going to surprise a lot of people. I think the Knicks preseason starts next on October 8th versus the Boston Celtics. And, of course, on the Bleed Blue Show forum last Wednesday night at 9 p.m., we also had an interesting debate about one Amari Stoudemire. You know, the Knicks fans, they voiced their opinions, the good, the bad, the ugly. There's a lot of interesting perspective getting ready for this upcoming season. From a business perspective, I'm not shy. I can't wait to get that contract off the books. I'm so looking forward to that day. Also check out the Knicks fan forum at 9 p.m. as we do our player spotlight, 10 p.m. trivia, and we have a lot of healthy discussion, man. It's a good forum, and whether you want to talk New York Knicks or you want to talk NBA in general, just tune in and follow the podcast and subscribe to us. And also in other sports right now besides the NFL and the NHL preseason getting underway, the MLB playoffs begin. The AL wild card with the Oakland Athletics and the Kansas City Royals. You also got the NL wild card this week with the San Francisco Giants versus the Pittsburgh Pirates. Before we get into depth with those matchups, the wild card, has to pan out first. So, I would think the Kansas City Royals will have a leg up on the Oakland Athletics. That's my guess if when we come back to the show, when we do our future shows on the MLB, I expect the Kansas City Royals to defeat the Oakland Athletics and move on to the divisionals. And, we'll see how that goes because I believe, a lot of people have, Washington Nationals. They have the Anaheim Angels. My sleeper team is the Dodgers, man. The LA Dodgers to win the World Series. They have the best starting pitcher in baseball, and I think it's going to come down to that. They have to go through St. Louis, and it seems like St. Louis is in it every year, keeping their heads in the mix. But I believe between the Cardinals or the Dodgers, I think they'll handle the Nationals, and I think the Nationals, they had a good season, won the NL East, but I'm not buying the Washington Nationals Kool-Aid, man. But on the American League side, to me, it's a no-brainer. I'm going with the Los Angeles Anaheim Angels, or whatever they call themselves, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. My pick on the Bleed Blue Show, we're going to do a World Series prediction, but we'll do that later. But I'm rolling with the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Anaheim Angels for the Freeway Series to be the World Series matchup. And I'll still take the Dodgers, so we shall be doing our 2014 MLB summary show this week to get in depth with these pitching matchups this week. That will be the end and wrap up of this Blues Day recap. Knicks, Giants, Yankees, Rangers, sports in general, stay tuned to us. You can subscribe to us in the iTunes, the podcast app, and if you're on the Android, you could listen to us through the Podcast Republic app. And without further ado, tune us in on Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. We do our Knicks fan forum. We do the Saturday morning New York Giants shows. And stay tuned to us. We'll be rounding it up, Bleed Blue style. All right? Take care.